Your grandchild comes to you, maybe it's a friend that lives down the street, and they say, could you teach me to read the Bible? Well, there's one other thing that we can learn. What is that? How to pray. I know we pray, and I'm sure all of you have a set time of prayer. Most of us probably have a set prayer, sadly to say. And I'm not being weird, but Dad, for some of you guys, your kids can lip sync to your prayers. Because we say the same thing every single time we get together. So the apostles came to Jesus, and look what they said. When did they say it? It came to pass that as Jesus was praying, ready? In a certain place. Jesus had a certain place where his apostles knew where he was, that he would go and pray every chance he had. Where is your certain place? Matthew calls it a closet. Where do you go to meet with God? Dads, when you get really, really, really old and your kids are gone, can they go, I know where Dad is right now. It's 6:30. I know where he's sitting. I know where his Bible is. Do we have that set place? But when Jesus finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say teach us to preach or teach us to heal. Teach us to do miracles. Teach us to pray. Now, when Jesus is asked this, he does share in another passage how not to pray. And what we're sharing today, if you really, really think about it, most four-year-olds could have taught us. Read your Bible. Pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. And folks, it is that simple. It is that simple. You want to grow in the Lord? You want to mature in your faith? Read your Bible and pray. I'm not talking about just a quickie here. I'm talking about spending time in the Word. That's inhaling. And then spending time in prayer. That's exhaling. It's the breath of life. When you pray, you should not be as the hypocrites, the play actors, the pretenders are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets. The next phrase, that they may be seen of men, is one Greek word. It is the Greek word theaomai. It's from where we get the word theater. And for many, when they pray, especially when it comes to public praying, it's an act. We're on stage. We say things because we want people to know. I hope they think I'm spiritual and I hope I say this right and use all the fancy religious words we can to somehow impress others. Verily I say to you, they have the reward. What is their reward? They were seen of men and then it's gone. But when you pray, enter into thy closet and when thou shut the door, why? Why do you shut the door? Because once again, Fox News is on, or there's babies crying, or there's something going on. Isn't it easy to get distracted while you're praying? Does your mind ever wander and where you have to say, I'm sorry, Lord, that was really rude of me? Yeah. Why the closet? Most shoes and sweaters don't talk back. It's just a place where you can get alone with God, and you pray to your Father who's in secret. And thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Hey, it's good to have secrets with God. It is. I got some little friends at the Wilds in North Carolina. And they'll come up. They call me Papa Ran. Papa Ran, I have a secret. Good. Do you want to hear my secret? They want to tell you their secret. Do you know it's okay to have secrets with God? Because we have struggles. That could cause fear in some. But when we're totally 100% honest with God, say, Lord, please, please, it's okay. You pray to your Father, he'll reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as unbelievers do. They shall be heard for their much speaking. What is this talking about? Vain repetition. Vain, empty, robotic, repetitive phrases that are said over and over in the same way, in the same tone, every single time we come to God. Has your prayer life gotten robotic, repetitive? Do you catch yourself saying the exact same thing every single time? Okay. For instance, if I called on somebody to pray out of the blue, I probably, at least 80% of the time, would hear this phrase. As soon as they stand up, they would address the Lord and then would say, thank you for this day. Should we be thankful for the day? Yes. If you're really thankful for the day, you should be thankful for the day. Do we have to start every single prayer with thank you for this day? No. Why do we say, Lord, I thank you for this day? Normally we say that so we can think about what we want to say. Therefore, it's a vain, empty thinking, repetitive phrase. Now be careful. Now, I don't want to offend anyone. But if your grandchild or your child came to you and said, Dad, Mom, Grandpa, Grandma, please teach me to pray. I don't think you would give them a list and tell them to memorize this. Okay? You would teach them how to talk to God. Even when we get to the phrase, in Jesus' name, amen, do you think about the intent of that phrase when you close your prayer? Once again, we need to slow down, take a breath, and think while we're talking. Any of you kids who have been to the wilds of New England, if I happened to pray for a lunch, you would never hear me pray in Jesus' name, amen. Why? Because when you have 250 people there, and all of them are kids or most are teens, and you go, it's like Pavlov's dog. They pull their chairs out and sit down before I finish. So I always pray it this way. As we pray in the name of Jesus, is he done yet? Amen. I trick him every single time. Think about every word, and please don't bring in the same memorized phrase. Listen to yourself pray. You might be shocked, because we all do this. And I'm not even saying we do it on purpose, but unless we're concentrating and thinking, we often get very repetitive, very robotic. So he doesn't want us to do that. What does he want us to do? Well, he tells us how to pray, doesn't he? I'm not sure if he tells us how to fix the clicker, okay? Can you go to the next one for me, since it's not listening to me? Okay, good, thank you. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And basically, the Lord says, okay, let me share with you, this is Jesus speaking, let me share with you my prayer list. And I don't want you to pray every single word just like I say it, or we'll be speaking a different language. But I want you to make sure that you have all of these elements in your praying. In fact, this one together, he says, pray like this. Would you say it out loud together with me? Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father. When I'm praying with you, when it's just me, it's my Father. Never doubt the power of a possessive pronoun. A personal possessive pronoun. And I did very poorly in English, okay? I know he's the Father, but he's mine. The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. He's my heavenly Father. I've been adopted into his family. My wife grew up, some teenager had her put in foster care. She was adopted out. The second she was adopted, she had a new name, a new family, potential brothers and sisters, a daddy she could run to anytime she got scared. Yeah. And we as believers have been adopted into the family of God. Slow down and read Ephesians 1. See all that we have and what it means to be in Christ. Our Father. Who do you pray to? When you pray, who do you pray to? Now, I'm not saying that you need to go to seed to this, but if you go to the New Testament, every single time Jesus prays, every single time Paul prays, they always pray to the Father. Every time. Now, if you know, go to the book of Psalms, and you'll pray out to God and so forth, and different aspects of the names of Jehovah God. But Jesus and Paul always prayed to the Father. Interesting. And when we think about who we're talking to, then there's no flippancy in this. For me, sometimes it's like this. Good morning, my loving, wonderful Heavenly Father. And other times it's, oh, my patient, forgiving Heavenly Father. Yeah. It's different determining on what's going on in my life. My loving, wonderful Heavenly Father, who's in heaven right now. He's real. If he's real, slow down and talk to him. Why do we speed up when we pray? What is your first name again?
Josh.
So Josh, how you doing, Josh? Good to see you, Josh. I was hoping, Josh, you have a good day, Josh. How are you, Josh, on your vacation, Josh? You say, I would never talk like that to you. What did you say, Rand? Would you slow down a second and understand what you say? Father, we thank you today. Why do we hurry? We have all this. It's amazing how we speed up when we pray. He is real. He's in heaven, like right now. And I am talking. Take a breath. Slow down. Concentrate. My loving, wonderful, heavenly Father. Do you know when I was a kid, I'd hold the pillow real tight against my head so I didn't hear my mom screaming while my dad beat her? She finally left us. I was only 8. I was raised by my grandparents. It was a little scary for me to talk to my dad. He was a very angry man. And I still remember when I read the verse in Psalms, when thy mother and father forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. And if you think about that, it's kind of like in Jude. I'm really wandering right now. Okay, but in the book of Jude, him who is able to keep us from falling, true. What does it say next? But he will lift us up because he knows we're going to fall. And he will pick us up, faultless, clean us up with exceeding joy, cheer us up. It's like when the little kids run across the parking lot and they fall. Dad picks them up, throws them up, cleans them up. That's what our Heavenly Father does. I was just meditating yesterday when they brought the kids to Jesus. He said, let them come. He prayed for them. He picks them up. I think he hugged them. If you study real closely, Matthew and Mark talk about little children, but Luke says infants, two different Greek words. He even held little tiny infants, just because he's such a loving, real Heavenly Father. My loving, wonderful, precious Heavenly Father, I know you love me. Thank you. Hallowed be thy name. How should this be part of our prayers? Holy, special. When it talks of the holiness of God, sometimes we think holiness just means sinlessness. And it's not just that. The Sabbath day was holy because it was what? Unlike the other 6 days. The Holy of Holies and the holy place was unlike any other place. Jesus himself in a couple places in scriptures called capital H, capital O, the Holy One. Unique, special, one of a kind. And the holy name of God. Hallowed be thy name. Now once again, please bear with me. I'm your friend. But I have to travel and I'm in a lot of churches and I hear some doozies. Pastors go to these pastors' conferences, and we really hear some doozies. Father God, we pray, Lord, that the God of heaven will take the word of God today and stop. Josh, good to see you, Josh. I was wondering, Josh, if Josh is having a good day, Josh. Are you, Josh? Good, Josh. And Josh, I really like Josh. What a Josh. But Josh, I should preach, Josh. Okay, Josh. So, Josh, I can go back and preach. I said, okay, Josh, good to see you, Josh. I'm glad you're here, Josh. Good to see you, Josh. Would I talk to him like that? And if we're not careful, please bear with me, but this is important. If we're not careful in the way we pray, if we use the name of God in our prayers without thinking about it, what are we doing? You tell me. What is that? Taking his name in vain. Like it's no big deal. Even to the point, what I have in my hand right now is the precious word of God. And when I'm talking to you guys, I say, oh, the word of God is precious. But not when I'm talking to God. Josh, I really like Josh's sweater, Josh. Would I say that to you? No. Josh, I really like your sweater. Father, thank you for your word. If you will stop and slow down and take a breath and remember who you are talking to, your Heavenly Father, you will be shocked at how your prayer life will begin to change. You know what you'll do? You'll start talking to God. And the little kids will say, you ought to hear my grandpa when he prays. When he prays, it's almost like he's really talking to God. Duh. That is what prayer is all about. But if in our squeaky clean world, we have just gotten in the habit to say all these religious words and phrases, stop, slow down, take a breath, and talk to your Heavenly Father who's real in heaven, but be careful in the way that you use his name. And you can thank him for being your Jehovah Rapha, your shepherd, and this, all that. Thy kingdom come. Jesus, when he came, set up the kingdom of God in our hearts. The Pharisees didn't like that because their kingdom was being destroyed. But that kingdom that is in our hearts someday will be on the new earth, yeah? Thy kingdom come. I pray every day, Lord, please come. I set dates. No, I really don't set dates, but I want to set dates. I don't remember who. I remember what year it was. It was a year after COVID. I told my staff in the summer, I said, guys, this is your last summer to serve God because the Lord's coming this year. What? I promise. I know he's coming. How do you know? Well, number one, in September of 2021, I'm going to turn 65 and God does not want me on Medicare. I know that, okay? But number two, I was reading my Bible and I went to the last chapter, the last book. I went to the last two verses of the last chapter, the last book. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace be with you all. But look to the left. There's two little numbers, 2021. Some think they're verse numbers, but I think he's coming back in 2021. No, I was kidding. But I ask him every day to come back. You see, looking for a rescue? Yes. You don't have to watch world news till your heart hurts for so, so many. Please come back, Lord. But until then, thy will be done in earth just like it is in heaven right now. Are you living according to God's will? Are you? What's his will for my life? Well, some of it's easy to understand. In everything give thanks, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from all kinds of immoral sin. Guys, that includes anything you find on the internet. This is the will of God. And are we willing to do God's will and obey him? Are we? Kids, do you do your role at home? Mom, do you do your role at home? Dad, do you do your role at home? Most of our families are upside down. Dads won't take lead, so moms have to, but they have to give in to their kids because they're really in control. And I think it's supposed to be dad, in a loving, wonderful way, leads your kids to God, and a wife, lovingly respect that guy. I know he's a mess, but lovingly respect him anyway. And children obey quickly, sweetly, and completely. This is the will of God. So thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. When it talks about the daily bread, what automatically came to the mind to the Jewish culture? Tell me, what was it? What it? Manna. You got it? Do you remember going through the desert for 40 years? They get out of Egypt, miraculous, Passover. They're going through this desert now, and all of a sudden they're hungry, they're complaining. So God tells them about this manna. Every morning, he has certain rules and regulations when they can get how much. And if you study it, it takes an omer. That's about the size of a 2-liter bottle, okay? Have you ever studied what manna tastes like? In one place, it says it tastes like fresh oil. Another place, it tastes like as sweet as honey. The only thing I know that sweet as honey tastes like fresh oil is a Boston cream donut. So they went out and got their donuts every morning. If that wasn't enough, they still complained. So God sent something at night. What was it he sent at night to feed them? Quail, pheasant like birds. They came in, just caught them, cooked them, ate them. I don't know. They had manna in the morning, pheasants at night. Whoa. Chicken and biscuits every day. And still they complained. Oh, but it didn't stop there. They get in the desert. It's hot. What do you look for when it's really, really hot? You look for shade. So what did he put over them to protect them? A cloud. And as it moved, that taught them to move. But at night, it gets real cold in the desert. And I don't know about you, when I wake up in the middle of the night, if I don't know where I am, isn't it nice to have a little night light? So what did God put up there at night? What was it? Fire. Whoa. Manna in the morning, quail at night. By day, we have the cloud at night. Watch me. This is all these people had to do to remind themselves of the power and the provision and the presence of God. This is all they had to do. Wow. How do you ascribe the glory of God to little lambs like Winter? Is that, I think, your name is? How do you describe the glory of God? What's your name, buddy? Levi? Levi, you know what the glory of God is? When it says, do all to the glory of God, it's kind of hard to figure out in our brains. Here's what it means. Whenever you think about God, what makes you go, wow. Wow, he is so powerful. Wow, he is so loving. Wow, he is so forgiving. Wow, he is so amazing. And this is what God did for these people. Give us this there daily. Ooh, daily. What does that mean? Just what we need. Not what we want. Because you guys have been part of the wilds of New England since the beginning. Honestly, it was a miracle for all of our eyes, wasn't it? Because when I was told, hey, you were given some property, the wilds was given property up in Winnipesaukee area, up at Lake Meredith, it's impossible. You'll never have a camp there. But somebody has to take a hold of this project and see if you can start a camp. Ken Collier told me, he said, I had resigned at 52 from being at the Wilds for 30 years as program director. And he asked if Amber and I would come. And he said, it's totally impossible. So we prayed and said, yeah, it's impossible. So you can't make a mistake. So we came up and prayed and met with the town. And there's no way they're going to let us have it. Met some boys and I say boys, guys, my age, but still hippies, in Montpelier, Vermont. And they took me into their office, and these were a bunch of hippies that never changed, and they were going to take over northern Vermont, northern New Hampshire, and northern Maine, and make it all conservancy. They took me in a back room and showed their map. And our little 500 acres was on there. And God did a miracle. I said, let's sell it, and then we'll just rent camps for however many weeks we want. And that's what we did. But it took a long time for them to get the money. So I kept renting camps, losing $15,000 to $20,000 every camp we ever rented. And then the place we're at right now, we had a 6-week rental agreement. And we had it all set up. We had already put up some tents and built a bathhouse. We're going to have camp. And the maintenance guy, the only guy who worked there at that point, came and said, you're not going to have camp. We're under foreclosure. I said, what? He says, yeah, we're losing it this Saturday. So he took a DVD of the North Carolina Wilds to that board meeting, not Christian people, showed him that. And those guys were so amazed. They said, they could do that. Let them try. It was a 501c3. The day before the decision, these hippies said, we'll buy it. We found the money. It was almost exactly, it was $1 million. But this place we were going that was under foreclosure owed $850,000. So we paid off their debt, signed a little paper, boom, we have instant cam. Just enough. So because of that, I told our staff, which was only three of us, hey, let's do this. Let's pray for God's daily bread. Don't ask God for money. And I encourage you to do that in your lives. For your kids and grandkids' sake, don't ask God for money. Thank God ahead of time for supplying what you need when you need it. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into his courts with what? Praise. Lord, thank you. You will supply every need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. So thank you for giving us just enough. And I shared with them, this is Proverbs 30. Remember Proverbs 30, the guy Agur? And he said, give me food convenient for me. Not too much, or I'll forget about you. Not too little, or I'll forsake you. When it comes to starting camp in New England, if God gave us $10 million, I'd forget God. I wouldn't even pray anymore. Why? We got the money. If God gave us no money, hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to drive a school bus so I can have a camp for those kids. Both ways, I'm depending on Rand and not God. Lord, thank you for supplying what we need when we need it. I don't know if you remember 2011. Maintenance guy came to me and said, we got a problem. What? Septic field is not working. I said, what does that mean? He said, it's not leaking, but it's not working. We're going to have to shut down. We had two more weeks in the summer. We did that. And I said, what does the septic field cost? He says, I don't know, but I'll look into it. A guy just sent $10,000 to do an activity, laser tag. And I was texting or emailing back, saying, hey, thanks so much. If there's any left over, we'll put it towards the leach field. He said, what's that all about? I said, well, it's not working. What will it cost? I have no idea. He said, let me talk to my wife. I was on the road in Illinois preaching. He said, I left a check on your desk in your office at camp. And I walked in. Here's a personal check written to the Wilds of New England for $100,000. And by this point, we found out how much a leach field costs. $220,000. We had no money. We were not tied financially to the other Wilds. I said, okay, Lord. I told everybody, thank you for showing what we need when we need it. So we have 100,000, we need 120 more. So we thought, I know what we'll do. We'll do what we did in North Carolina. We have big banquets. Now they have big banquets with about 800 people show up and all that at a big fancy hotel. We couldn't do that. So we had one on the campsite in our little chapel. And we did. I think we had maybe 60 people show up, 30 couples, some pastors. I think Pastor Ken might have been there at that time. And I'm walking across the little courtyard there thinking, whew, 60, 30, that's a lot of money. These are my friends. They drive cars like I drive, you know. And so, okay, Lord, thank you. My phone rang. Hey, Rand. Oh, man, we wanted to come and couldn't. I am so sorry. Tell you what, whatever the offering is, I'll match it. You sure? Yeah, okay. Didn't tell anybody. We went in, we had our meal. I showed video, or not video, but PowerPoints, explained our prayer, our desire. We didn't take pledges, just took an offering. We needed what? $120,000. How much was the offering? I think you can tell me. $60,020. Now the guy matched the $60,000. He didn't match the 20 cents, okay? Why am I telling you all that? Had nothing to do with Rand. Nothing. Because God wanted us to have a camp up here for your kids. And so I am excited with 100 campers. North Carolina, we have 1,000. 1,000 kids. 320 staff. It's huge. I love New England. I get to know the names of the kids. I have their parents on my phone. And the guy called and said, you think you need to grow? I said, nope, I'm good. I think you're being selfish. I'm good. Let the next guy grow, okay? I was already like 60-something. If you ever want to grow, let me know. That's all he said. That's on Monday. This is 2015. Wednesday, a guy called and said, Rand, I was burdened about New England. love what you're doing up there in your camp and all. I think you need to grow. Now I'm thinking, oh, this must be of the Lord. And you know what he said? He said, if you can match $500,000 in the next 10 days, it's yours for the camp. Something about end of year giving. So I called the other guy back, and he's a friend. I said, hey, you don't believe this. You called me on Monday. I just got a call. Any way you want to match $500,000? He goes, sure. Wouldn't that be cool? Friday, a third guy calls. He doesn't know this is going on. He said, I just sent $50,000 to the Wilds in North Carolina. But New England needs the kind of camp you guys offer. There's a check in the mail for $200,000. We had $1.2 million in the bank, and we hadn't talked about that building yet. And we immediately went right into the plans, and that's where we meet today. Now, why did I tell you all of that? Give us this day our daily bread. Thank God ahead of time for supplying what we need when we need it. Do you realize after 15 years of Wilds New England, if you look at the end of the year, we either are ahead or below by $2,000. For 15 years, that's a miracle. That's our God. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Whoa. Got a question for you. Is there anyone on this earth you refuse to forgive? Think about it. Is there anyone on this earth you refuse to forgive? And the reason I say that, because I have so many, even parents, they ran, sometimes I pray and I wonder if it leaves the room. Did you know that forgiveness is not unconditional? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. If you come to the altar to pray and you have aught, anything against a brother, don't pray, don't give, don't worship, don't sing. Leave your gift at the altar. Go make it right with your brother. Then come back and worship me. This is what God says. Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I struggled with this for a long, long time in my life. Because of the way I was raised and because of my ministry as a counselor. Did you ever hear the phrase, I'll start it, you finish it. Forgive and forget. And I was taught that was Bible. Is it? I'm not trying to trick you, but this will help. I'm serious. How many of you know you're Christians? Let me see your hands, okay? You know you're saved. You know you're a believer. Therefore, when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, did God forget your sins? Yes or no? Some of you said no, some of you said yes. If Ephesians 4 says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As a kid, reading that with a heart for God, I trusted Christ when I was six. As a teenager, I loved the Lord. Now, as a total redneck from Pennsylvania, when I went to Bob Jones, they wouldn't even let me check in because my hair was too long and I had to clean up, okay? But I had a heart for God. I really, really did. I wasn't perfect, but I had a heart for God. I couldn't forget everything that happened in their home, what my dad did. So I knew I could never be close to God like you guys. And then all of a sudden, I find myself counseling horrendous stories. What do you? I'll be very careful with the ages in here. But what do you do when you're in your office and a 14-year-old girl comes in and her mom's boyfriend, yeah, and she had AIDS and she's going to die? Or what do you do when there's a 15-year-old girl, similar thing happens to her, when she got pregnant and they forced her to have an abortion, she's screaming, they made me kill my baby. And every kind of abuse you can imagine, I have counseled. Are you telling me that I have to look these teenagers in the eyes and say, you have to forget this? Sorry. It's impossible. And if you grew up in any kind of difficulty in life, I'm telling you, it's impossible. And it so bothered me, I started thinking about theology. And we talked about some of it earlier. Did God forget my sin? Whoa, wait a minute. Isn't he omniscient? Is God omniscient? Yes or no? Doesn't he know everything? How can anyone that knows everything in past, present, future forget anything? And somebody mentioned he's immutable, unchanging. So in other words, he's unchanging in his love. He doesn't love us more when we're really, really good or less when we're really, really bad. He's unchanging in his knowledge. He doesn't increase or decrease in knowledge. Therefore, God cannot forget. What does the Bible say? Your sins and your iniquities, I will separate as far as the east is from the west. Ready? I will bring them to my remembrance no more. God doesn't forget. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is a promise. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Josh, when you stand before, sit before God, maybe 10 years from now, God's not going to say, now I remember what you did. It's gone. It's a promise. I will not bring it up to you, to myself, or anyone else again. Now, God can do that, but we struggle with that. I was preaching this message, and a couple comes down the aisle, both in their mid to late 60s. She's weeping. The husband says, we need help. What's up? She was abused for years and years by her father. She can't get over it. He said, have you ever sat down to talk with him? She said, I can't. He's dead. So then I asked her this. I said, do you ever catch yourself getting with your friends? And when you start talking about life, you bring up all the bad stuff that happened to you. And in your heart of hearts, you're thinking, I want them to be upset with him, what he did to me, and I want them to feel pity for me. She goes, all the time. I said, then you have not forgiven. True forgiveness, I choose, I promise not to bring it up to you, to myself, or anyone else again. And if we want God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you ever pray that way? Did you have a good morning prayer? Before you even get out of bed, I encourage you to do so. You wake up, you probably hit your snooze alarm and get an extra spiritual 8 minutes of sleep. Good morning, Lord. Lord, I need you today. Thank you for saving me. But I really need you because I'm tired. Father, I already have my grumpy pants on. It's going to be a tough day. I need you. Yeah. You ever pray ahead of time? You ever talk to your wife, say, hun, I can't even tell you why I'm so low today. But I promise I will probably respond wrong if anything. I don't know why, but I need some space. We have those days, all of us. And those are times you go to your Lord and say, Lord, I'm weak today. I'm weak every day, but today I'm really weak. I need you. You tell me you will not allow me to be tempted above which I'm able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. So I need that, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the Lord's prayer list. But when you want to teach your little guys, you want to teach your grandkids, you want to teach your kids, how do you do this? We don't normally talk like this, so maybe it'd be something like this. My loving Heavenly Father, please keep me in your will. Help me to depend on you today. Forgive me and help me to forgive others. Lord, please keep me from sin. And thank you for being such a wonderful, powerful God. Amen. Would you pray this with me out loud? Ready? My loving Heavenly Father, please keep me in your will. Help me to depend on you today. Forgive me. Help me to forgive others. Please keep me from sin. And thank you for being such a wonderful, powerful God. When those little kids come to you and say, could you teach me to pray? You can. Just take them to Jesus' prayer list and share with them that what you have learned, okay? Can I pray for us? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, you are gracious, you're wonderful, you're alive, you're in heaven. First of all, I pray that you would help this church family, church body, to maybe kind of renew or recommit their desire to read your word and pray every day. Father, in such a way that what is seen in their lives, when you finally answer their prayer and bring that new pastor and his family in, when people visit and stop into this church, their desire to talk to you and to learn from you is so contagious that many, many will want to be in this church just because of the spirit of these guys. You know, Father, who would be a real, real good fit for this church. Thank you so much for Pastor Jackson and his wife and shepherding them through this time. But please, let them know your will. I know we have to learn to wait on you. And sometimes, as you know, that's hard for us. But would you please prepare a heart, prepare a mind for the right person to be able to come to this church and continue the ministry that they have had for so, so many, many years here. So I'm asking you to put a hedge of protection around the church and put your hand of blessing on top of the church and take care of their needs, bringing in the spiritual leader. Until then, help them to be faithful to you. But for all of us, Lord, would you help us to read your Bible and pray every day? Can't expect a man to come in and make a difference in our spiritual lives if we're not willing to do our own homework and do what you require of us. So please, may this morning not just be another Sunday morning, but internally I pray that many individuals will recommit to pray, to read, and that will be an exciting thing as they fellowship and even meditate on you and who you are. And may then this expand through many, many others in this area. So I'm thanking you ahead of time for bringing a new pastor in your time. I'm thanking you ahead of time for convicting our hearts. And if we're not in your word and praying like we should, make us miserable. Remind us. Maybe even remind us through our kids or grandkids, but remind us how faithful we need to be. So thank you for what you've done for us as we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.